$70 an hour from home? Here's how one Side Hustle Show listener is getting it done and how you can apply the same strategies to a business of your own. What's up? What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, because everything is learnable. Today, I want to return to the side hustle idea of remote freelancing. That is, what service can you provide that other businesses or individuals are happy to pay for? My guest today is a longtime Side Hustle Show listener. She's a mother of three, and when her youngest was starting preschool a few years ago, she all of a sudden found herself with an extra 9 hours a week. It wasn't a ton of time, but in her words, she wanted to be a good steward of that time and use it effectively. Kate Johnson ended up starting a virtual bookkeeping service called Heritage Business Services, and today she serves several monthly retainer clients and targets a $70 an hour effective hourly rate. The important thing to note here is that while Kate had taken some accounting classes in college, she'd never been paid to do accounting or bookkeeping work. Her story illustrates that, yes, you can learn valuable new skills, yes, you can take action, and yes, you can see results. Stick around in this episode to hear how she landed her first clients, why she decided to invest in her own education, and the surprising new side hustle all this work has spun off. Notes and links for this one, along with the full text summary of our call, are at sidehustlenation.com/bookkeeping. That's all one word, double O, double K, double E. And one other quick note here is you'll hear Kate reference the course she took to get started, which is called Bookkeeper Launch. You can check out a free preview of that course at sidehustlenation.com/BBL for Bookkeeper Business Launch, or check out Kate's full review of it at bookkeepingsidehustle.com. As you begin to apply Kate's tips and land clients of your own, you might start to hear these magic words: send me the invoice. That's when you fire up your 30-day free trial of our sponsor, FreshBooks, at freshbooks.com/sidehustle, and you whip up a custom, branded, professional-looking invoice in just 30 seconds, and you get paid fast. This is the tool I've been using for years when I need to invoice clients or advertisers, and I want to invite you to start your 30-day free trial over at freshbooks.com/sidehustle and enter the Side Hustle Show in the How Did You Hear About Us section. You've spent a lot of time optimizing your website content, and now with our sponsor, Ezoic, you can optimize your website ad revenue too. What sets Ezoic apart is their easy-to-use flagship ad tester tool. It uses machine learning to automatically test ad positions, sizes, and more to determine which perform best on your website. In fact, Ezoic increases its customers' total ad earnings by an average of 50%. Visit ezoic.com/sidehustleshow today to start using Ad Tester for free. That's Ezoic, ezoic.com/sidehustleshow. I'll be back with my top takeaways from this chat with Kate after the interview. We start this one off with what attracted Kate to bookkeeping in the first place. Ready? Let's do it.
I was able to kind of discern that lots of small businesses are really good at their craft, but they're really bad at the behind the scenes stuff. And I have always been a great number two person. My dream job when I was in my 20s was to go back and be the chief of staff for a Baylor University president. And I never dreamt of becoming a president of Baylor. I wanted to be that right hand, that person that was like able to keep it all in my head, able to really advise, internalize all the data to help make decisions. So I thought that would be a good role to like come alongside a lot of these like really aspiring entrepreneurs, but who the last thing they want to do is just kind of deal with the behind the scenes stuff. So that was all appealing to me. I liked that I would be able to work from anywhere. That was definitely marketed in the course that I took, with that this was going to be something that was all cloud based. And being married to someone in the Navy, like I knew that I could not, I actually had, you know, pretty heartbreaking experience whenever I finally had to quit my brick and mortar job. The last one that I quit, I actually had to quit two because of him.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we're up and moving again.
Yeah, and that's out of my control. And I finally was like, I'm not doing that again. So that was all part of it.
Yeah, something virtual, something that can be done anywhere in the world, essentially. You never know where the next move is going to take you.
Exactly.
Is this something that a new person would need to take a course for? Or is this something that with a little effort you could self-educate through YouTube or through blogs or just through trial and error of doing books?
I don't think you could learn through trial and error. You could learn on your own. Like if your spouse has a company and they're willing to let you potentially run them into the ground, that's fine. But you're really talking about people's livelihoods here. And as I've been in this industry and starting to, you know, I've advised a lot of other people about how to get started. There are a lot of really bad bookkeepers out there. And just because you can maybe pass a QuickBooks exam or take know how to click around in a bookkeeping software, that actually doesn't allow you to know the fundamentals of accounting. They're two very different things. Like you need to know accounting and you need to know a bookkeeping software, those are two different skill sets. You can have good accounting concepts and not know how to use a bookkeeping software. So I like to distinguish those. And yes, there are ways to do that for very cheap. There are some great resources. One of the best accounting ones, I always say people need to start with learning accounting. There's a free resource called accountingcoach.com online. That's not one that I've personally gone through, but I know a lot of people who are trying to bootstrap things and do that. I mean, people go to college and graduate school for years and years to become excellent accountants. So I want to kind of put the fear in people listening to this, that this isn't something that you're going to learn in a week or a month. Truthfully, I still have to study accounting occasionally whenever I get a new just issue with a client, when they bring on that first person on payroll, how do those journal entries work, that sort of thing. So I'm always having to continue learning accounting, but there are ways to do it. And I pride myself actually on being able to help people kind of learn how to do it on the cheap. I also think, though, that this is something that for a very little bit of money, there are several different paths. If you really did want to start a virtual bookkeeping business, there's a lot of courses out there. A lot of them are bad, so you can reach out to me and ask my opinion about that, too. But there are more than one nowadays that will tell you kind of from soup to nuts how to go about all through all the steps to get that first client. But the only ones that I'll recommend are the ones that say you have to have a strong foundation in accounting first.
All right. And I understand you've got reviews of several of these over at bookkeepingsidehustle.com. Kate's got 7,000 members in her bookkeeping side hustle group on Facebook. So lots of different resources to kind of get yourself educated if this is the path that you want to go down. I just want to look at this through the lens of here's a specialized work from home virtual service based business, whether people want to start bookkeeping or whether people want to start any type of other home-based business. I think there's going to be some parallels there. But in this industry specifically, are there, you mentioned the QuickBooks exam or something like that. Are there specific certifications that you need to be able to call yourself a bookkeeper?
So in America, no. I do know that there, worldwide, there are some countries that have something that would be called, I don't know the name of it, some sort of bookkeeping certification. But in America, anyone can sign up for QuickBooks and start doing bookkeeping for people. So all the major software programs have a certification for their software. But again, just because you can get certified in a software does not mean you know the accounting behind it. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But so I have the highest level of QuickBooks certificate. I'm called a QuickBooks Advanced Pro Advisor. At one point, I was a zero advisor as well. As someone who has grown deliberately, intentionally, slowly, I recommend for people who are wanting to do this with not 40 hours a week, but as a side hustle, to pick one platform. Zero is just as good as QuickBooks Online in terms of being able to build a small business like mine.
And as we should note, that's Xero, X-E-R-O, online accounting software.
Yes, X-E-R-O. So those are the two that I kind of typically push people to. There's also one called Wave. It has a little bit less functionality, but it could be something that people use to start their virtual bookkeeping business. But what I recommend is that you just start with one, because accounting is accounting, but software can be completely different. And if you've got two clients on QuickBooks Online and two clients on Xero, you're not going to be able to command, especially if you charge value pricing like I try to do. My implied hourly rate is able to go up as I get better at the software.
Okay, so value-based pricing, meaning you're not charging a set hourly rate for your retainer clients, it's just X dollars per month.
Exactly. And so when I spend time on the Stairmaster early in the morning and I'm watching YouTube videos that are best QuickBooks keyboard shortcuts, for instance, those small business owners, they're not learning those shortcuts. That's why the bookkeeping is so hard for them. But I can rock and roll through my tasks quickly and study that. But it would be, the same keyboard strokes are not the same in those two softwares. That's just an example.
So there's some foundational stuff here, just getting yourself educated, familiar with the software, and the software with a service is a really common business framework where it's like, hey, business owners buy this software, they don't necessarily know how to use it. Or if you can become an expert in it, it's easy or relatively easy to find people who are using that and kind of set up a service piggybacking on that almost. And it's kind of funny, I was talking to Bench this week, Bench.co, which is a pretty big virtual bookkeeping service. And they said, this is one of the first services that a lot of business owners tend to outsource or hire help for, because exactly like you said, they didn't go into business to become an entrepreneur and then also a bookkeeper on the side. It's like they want to focus on their core thing. And so that's where Kate comes in. So tell me about those first client conversations. Like, okay, you've gone through this course, you said this is the side hustle for me. Like, and then it's like coming up with the confidence to say, all right, I'm ready to go hunting for clients. Tell me about that.
All right. So I don't necessarily recommend my start. I was also interested in real estate investment at the same time as I was kind of considering this. And actually, those were probably that was the path. We were either going to like flip a property and I was going to be like laying hardwood floors or whatever, you know, whatever, or I was going to be doing this bookkeeping. So I was a member. I bought a cheap little membership to this once a month real estate investor meeting. And they announced that their speaker had canceled and they were switching to a speed networking night. And it was I'd never done a speed networking night ever, but I was like, I have to go. And I didn't even have a business card. I sat in the parking lot and wrote my name and phone number on some post-it notes and went and met, I don't know, we had like five tables, like 10 minutes each. I don't know if people have been to these things. It was very organized and everyone had like 90 seconds to talk. And I got a bunch of business cards and I gave out a bunch of post-it notes and I got a client out of it. So that was how I got my first client. So I'm a very scrappy, bootstrappy type of a girl. So part of me loves that story about how I got started. But if you have a week's notice, you can order something like off VistaPrint and have a proper business card at least to hand out.
But it goes to show you, you don't need it getting started. You just have to have the idea of the service in your mind. Like, did you introduce yourself? Like, hey, I'm Kate, I'm a virtual bookkeeper, without having any like clients or experience to have the confidence to say that?
So it's hard. I basically said, I'm a QuickBooks Pro advisor.
Okay.
I had passed the test. So that gave me at least something to say. It also helped that I only could talk for like 90 seconds. So I don't know, what's the networking advice? You're not supposed to like talk about other people's pain points, right?
Right.
I was probably saying stuff like, I know that y'all know how to go out and buy and sell houses and that you hate your bookkeeping. And that's what I do. So I said, I don't know, probably said something like that. And I didn't let myself get like hung up on my experience. I didn't ever lie. So definitely don't ever do that. There's a good chance that you're not going to be fully grilled on your experience. And one woman was willing to take a chance on me. I think I was probably pretty honest with her. She was kind of a bootstrappy type of a gal. She still had kids in high school, you know, flexible type of a gal. So she was, well, you sound kind of like me, I'll hire you. That's how that match worked.
What happened after that in terms of getting access to their accounts and systems? There's a lot of like security type of questions that come into play here.
That's another reason why I kind of do recommend investing in a course, because you can spend a week trying to like answer those questions. Like, how do I get access to my clients' books? Or what is the secure way to have them sign an engagement letter? You know, all these bookkeeping softwares have accountant access that the client grants to you. So she invited me to her QuickBooks file and all that. Like, I would have never known all that. I'm a really smart person and there's no way in the world that I would have known that's how these things work. So the nuts and bolts, you can just spend so long trying to figure out on your own. And there's always a way to figure it out for free. So there is nothing about this business that is rocket science. But as an entrepreneur, you have to kind of decide, like, I only have this many hours and how am I going to move most quickly to my destination?
Right. That's a good way to frame it. Hey, there's always a way to figure it out for free. A course accelerates that learning curve. Okay. I like that. Was this kind of initial onboarding, after this speed networking night, was that done from your home and your client's home? Or was it like, hey, can I come to your office and look over your shoulder and we'll get all the access set up?
Yeah. So I did everything wrong based on what the course said. So she was local. I'm a very like extroverted person. So I loved the idea of being able to spend time with her. I was still also considering like real estate. So in my mind, I thought, wow, if I'm a real estate person's bookkeeper, I might learn how to invest in real estate too. So I actually did meet with her in person some, but it totally wasn't necessary. It just worked for my context. So we started that summer before my kids were in school. So there was a couple of mornings where I actually did hire a babysitter because I just felt more confident being in person. I wasn't quite as comfortable with the Zoom meetings and all of that. I'm really comfortable with it now.
What's the actual work like if expenses and receivables are all kind of automatically pouring into this software, or maybe they're not, and that's something that you're setting up? Like, what is the day-to-day responsibilities of a virtual bookkeeper look like?
So there's all kinds of levels. My whole business has been built on a monthly flow. So there is no client that I have that I have to work on any day of the month. So if I need to like not work on them for a whole week, I can do that. There are some businesses who can hire a virtual bookkeeper though, who need someone every day, maybe for 2 or 3 hours a day you're logging on. There are definitely people who have that type of a client and who want that type of a client. For me, this wasn't what I wanted.
Is that just like because of transaction volume?
Yes. So, you know, imagine someone who's maybe paying a bunch of subcontractors every 2 to 3 days. Imagine a company, maybe like a pest control company, who's got huge and they've got just client after client, and maybe you're helping them, the people who haven't paid, you're maybe tracking that down. Yeah, transaction volume, payroll issues or paying subcontractor issues, paying bills, you can kind of set all that up, but it just depends on how large the enterprise is. So I deliberately kept clients that are not someone who's going to need me every day. It's a very like white collar job. I mean, you're at a desk, you're at a computer, you're doing Zoom calls. If all of that sounds terrible to you, then you're not going to like it. You know, if you need to be like making furniture, you would hate this. You would absolutely hate it.
Fair enough. Yeah. You have to kind of have this accounting mindset or a love of math and numbers, or I don't know.
I would say details too. You have that like love of details.
Yes.
Is probably even more so than math, because the computer software definitely like handles all the math now. Like very, very rarely am I doing math anymore. Although you would think I would, about 20 years ago, accountants probably would, but it's a lot more about the details than the math.
Yeah. This sounds like perfect for me. I'm like the nerd who actually loves to do my own bookkeeping.
Oh yeah.
For this first client, this real estate flipper, did you have a set price in mind? Like, how did you figure out how much to charge for this?
Okay, so you're asking me all the embarrassing questions. So again, not what is recommended in the industry right now, but I did charge hourly. And again, I mean, there was a time when, I don't know, just been hard. It would have been hard to say this, but I charged her $20 an hour. So I charged hourly and I charged very low. And I was thrilled. My husband literally bought me a bottle of champagne, and we were going to meet our church Bible study where we have dinner. And the very first time I got paid from her, he like made everyone like toast to me because he was so excited. And I mean, he just thought it was so cool. Like, oh my gosh, I have a wife who like got paid for someone to do something professional.
It's a huge milestone for sure.
Yeah, it was so cool. And so I got paid $20 an hour. I love not tracking hours now. I am quite certain that I will never have an hourly ongoing client again. I had one other one, but for me, like I would pass on that client if that's how the client was wanting pricing. One-off engagements, like a project or a training, like I said earlier, I'm currently charging $70 for that. But I'll just say, like, the way my business has grown, I have gotten to the mindset. I got my mindset back from having just been like a mush brain stay-at-home mom for so long, that I am valuable, that I do have a skill set, that most of these businesses really, really don't know how to do their own bookkeeping. So they need me, or they're better or not. I do have a couple clients who could do their own bookkeeping, but they can make way more money going out and doing their actual business for those hours they would spend doing their bookkeeping. So I'm doing something really valuable. And after 2.5 years, I've gotten to a better like mental place about that. So every client, kind of my pricing strategy has just aimed for making more each new client. So that second client, I made much more than $20 per hour, but that doesn't take away from how excited I was to make that first $20 an hour after having made $0 for 6.5 years.
Right, right, right. There is something to that. And I think Abby Ashley, who runs the Virtual Savvy, and she talked about this in her virtual assistant business too. Like, I started off at this rate, and then for the next client, it was a little bit higher. For the next client, it was a little bit higher. And it's a way to gain experience and to level up and to just, as your confidence grows, your income can grow as well. Do you have a fixed price for everybody who comes to you, or do you kind of like create a custom monthly package now if somebody approaches you today?
So custom monthly package, and I try not to overthink it. The course that I took had a pricing calculator in there, and it's all like people try to like beat this value pricing drum. I think it's a little bit of a sham. I think it really ultimately is all back down to that hourly rate that you want to make. And even this calculator is built on that. It's this Excel thing. But at the very top number is like, what's your desired hourly rate? And then it's guessing based on like number of transactions and is there weekly payroll versus monthly payroll? And it kind of tries to factor all that in to where then we think that on the average month, this is about how long it'll take. And so if you want that hourly rate, this is what you need to charge. And some months you have to work more on a client, some months maybe not. So it works out.
Okay. And that $70 an hour is the ballpark that you're aiming for at the moment.
That's what I put in there right now.
Okay. And that's important to note if your alternatives are gig economy stuff, low-level administrative stuff. Like, it's a way to really level up your earning power. But on the flip side, you got to know what you're doing. So there's trade-offs there. Obviously, a high-value service, higher-skilled service. So going from this first client to the roster of clients you have today, what else worked to market the business?
So I did want to share a couple of things. I did get a client by a company called Paro, P-A-R-O. I think it's P-A-R-O.io. And they are kind of like a dating site for bookkeepers and small business. I mean, not really. It's like a matchmaking site. So I interviewed with them and I had to pass this actually pretty hard test. I had to send my family out of the house for like 5 hours on a Saturday. And it was this timed exam where you pretend to be a bookkeeper. They had set up this like simulation, but I got in and then they have their whole sales team whose job is to go and sign small businesses. So one of my early clients was with them. So that's one way to get a client, especially if you realize that you want to work virtually, but maybe you're not fully invested in the concept of being an entrepreneur. And a lot of accountants are not. A lot of people who have the skill set that would make them a great bookkeeper means they're a terrible business owner, but they'd make a great bookkeeper. So don't worry about going to networking meetings. Don't worry about having a website. Don't worry about posting on LinkedIn and all this other nonsense. And you're like, if I had 6 clients from Paro, yeah, I'm not going to make as much because Paro obviously has to keep their doors open and take a cut, but you can make a decent wage. That's an option. I think, did you ever interview someone from Belay, Nick?
I know Brian and Shannon, but I have not done that.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you'd interviewed them or not, but Belay is another option. They have bookkeepers on their staff that they'll kind of loan out to businesses all around the world. So that's kind of one way.
Okay. Did you end up onboarding with them?
With Belay? No, I never even tried.
Okay.
I think there's also more and more. So QuickBooks Live is another program. So QuickBooks just in the end of 2018 launched its own bookkeeping service. I think they like put up an ad in the Super Bowl maybe too. So they're taking bookkeepers instead of just being a software company. Now they're actually an accounting and bookkeeping company. A small business owner can subscribe to QuickBooks and they're going to get immediately start getting marketed to, hey, do you need help? We have a team of bookkeepers. And they pay a decent wage. I think their average wage right now is like in the $20 to $25 range, which is, I mean, not too shabby if fits your family's lifestyle and your goals, and you're supervised by someone. So you don't have the pressure of like, well, if I make a mistake, or if I don't know what I'm doing, I don't have anyone to ask. I mean, that's kind of terrifying. Luckily, the course that I took kind of has that's my support system when I don't know what to do. It came with like actual, very, very experienced accountants who I can fall back on. But so QuickBooks Live would be another like, that's kind of a gig economy, part-time virtual job, but not full-blown entrepreneurship. And then if you want to just keep going down the entrepreneur path, my best way is just people that I know. So, you know, that game, like 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon, like that's how I think all my clients pretty much have been. If not someone that I know, it's like someone that I know knows that person. And I just try to tell as many people as I can that I have this business and it has just kind of worked for me. Once I got a website, I finally built a website about a year and a half into my business. So like heritagebusinessservices.com is where I, once I built that, it's just a little simple 4-page website. I felt a lot of confidence grow in my marketing, and I was able to say to people, hey, I'm a virtual bookkeeper, check out my website. And it just made me feel a lot more legit.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. It's not something that you need in the early days, but it is something that can make you feel more official, make you feel more legit down the road. But I like how you were able to validate this thing with a paying customer before business cards, before getting a logo, before getting a website. It's just like, no.
Yeah, I don't have a logo at all. I still don't have a logo.
Yeah, you don't need that stuff. You don't need that stuff. Okay. With the website, were you able to add it to Google Local, you know, Google My Business, like trying to get local clients? Curious how the website eventually helped you aside from this confidence factor.
So I think I probably could have done that, but I have not done that. No, I don't have a find me on Google. I don't think if people are searching like Virginia Beach bookkeeper, they're probably not going to come up. And that's just because I've taken the approach of, I really do think it's going to be someone that's like not too many degrees away from me. Well, I think my third client was from the elementary school pickup line. We parents have to go in to pick up our kids.
Okay.
He was one of the dads of like one of the older kids at the school. And that's how it's worked for me. So I haven't put a lot of effort into, I mean, there's no SEO for my website.
What was the conversation like with that dad? He was just like, hey, what do you do? Or
no, it was that easy. So our school has Pizza Friday, and that's what like parents are encouraged to come. And he would come occasionally, and I just ended up sitting by him. And I don't know, I'd probably been at the school about a year and a half at that point. So I recognized him, and I don't know. I just like, I try to be socially adept. That's kind of it. I don't know. Maybe I think he might have been wearing like a badge to get into a business. So I was asking him about his business. And then it turned out that he had this extra nonprofit that he was responsible for. And so it was for the nonprofit that he said he needed a bookkeeper for.
Oh, okay.
So once I had that business mindset on, I was just like looking for places to turn the conversation to that direction, if that makes sense, without being annoying.
Yeah, a couple of different options. Obviously, the in-person networking stuff, your 6 degrees of separation, who do you know, who do they know? And just being upfront saying like, this is what I do now. This is something I can help out with. Going down the route of the QuickBooks Live or the Paro or the Belay, like going where larger companies already have a network of bookkeepers that they're referring out to clients. So it's like going where customers are already shopping. That's one way to do it. And then, you know, finally, there's this whole level of online marketing and, you know, trying to find complete stranger type of clients that I imagine you'll get to down the road. But the important thing to notice here, it doesn't take a ton of clients to make a meaningful business out of this. So
exactly. I don't want a lot of clients.
Having an accounting tool is a must-have for every small business owner. So making sure that you budget for that from day one. And the tool that I like the most is FreshBooks, especially if you're a service-based entrepreneur.
That's Sylvia Inks, a small business financial coach, on episode 349 of The Side Hustle Show with an unscripted plug for our sponsor, FreshBooks. Let's get your bookkeeping out of the shoebox this year and into the cloud with FreshBooks' award-winning invoicing and accounting software. FreshBooks has been making life easier for service entrepreneurs for the last 15 years. For example, you can automate your invoices, so all you have to do is sit back and wait for payments. You can give your accountant access to all the information they need to do your taxes, and you can accept credit card and ACH payments right on invoices, so you can get paid faster. With all these efficiencies, FreshBooks is saving Side Hustle Show listeners up to 200 hours a year. What are you going to do with all that extra time? To start your 30-day free trial of FreshBooks with no credit card required, go to freshbooks.com/sidehustle and enter the Side Hustle Show in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started today. That's freshbooks.com/sidehustle. Where do you see this going? Like, are you happy with where it's at? Are you trying to grow to have a team of bookkeepers underneath you? What's the future hold?
Yeah, maybe I jumped the gun by saying I don't want a lot of clients. Although I think I actually don't want a lot of clients. There are definitely ways that you can take this business down that path. But for me, my next step is to probably outsource some of the monthly work. And I've actually done that. So I'm proud to say that I have just in 2020 brought on a subcontractor for 2 clients. And that's just such a cool, amazing milestone. I feel really great about it. It's working out well. It's something you can test slowly and that's a good model, I think, if anyone is trying to grow, or maybe they get a client that they're not confident in. Like, you know, if a client has inventory, or maybe they have foreign currency, or, you know, kind of a little bit more varsity type accounting, bring them on and hire a really experienced, slightly nerdy accountant who loves that stuff. And they'll be able to do a lot of the work, and you can still share in the revenue of that client.
Right. This is one way a service business becomes a little bit more time leveraged, a little bit more passive, when it's like, hey, I don't have to be the one laying the bricks anymore.
Yeah. And another reason I'll say that I'm not interested in being huge is because, kind of as you mentioned at the very, very beginning, I have found that I have a unique skill set and interest in kind of encouraging other people to become bookkeepers. So my bookkeeping side hustle work, where I'm helping people get started and go, I'm loving, and I'm passionate about. And there's a lot of people like me who are, what hell was I? I was like 32, had a couple little kids, feeling like drowning a little bit. I mean, I love my kids very, very much, but just like, where did my brain go? And there's lots of moms out there who are kind of like me, and they like, man, if I could just have just a little bit of kind of that old self, it'll help me even be the better mom. And I love being able to have my kids see me work. I like them hearing them say, like, my mommy does accounting, or my mommy does QuickBooks. I think they say that. They don't really kind of get, but I love that. And for years, I didn't really have that. And not every mother needs that. But for me, it was, I found a good balance, I think.
Yeah, I love it when the kid, you know, asking our kids, like, oh, what does daddy do for work? I don't know. He talks to people. What does mommy do for work? Oh, she takes pictures of people. Or it's like, oh, she's not taking pictures today. Oh, laboratory. Yes, she's at the laboratory today. So I love it. It's like, it's awesome to try and instill that in the kids too at an early age. I love this because it illustrates so many of like the Side Hustle Show themes, especially the part about the kind of entrepreneurial physics of the opportunities become visible once you're in motion, and an entrepreneur in motion stays in motion. So bookkeepingsidehustle.com is an example of working in public in a lot of ways. Like, here's my experience in doing this. Here's how you can get involved too. And I understand it started almost by accident on a basis of a Facebook thread.
Yeah. So I think it was about September of 2018 now. So about 18 months ago, I was in a Facebook group. It was Choose FI was the name of the group, which is just a financial, like a personal finance kind of a group. And lots of people in that umbrella are going to be wondering about, like, there's two levers you can pull: decrease your expenses or increase your income. And so lots of people ask, like, how do I increase my income? And someone had posted something about accounting, or that they were an accountant and they needed to make more money. And I just chimed in that I do virtual bookkeeping and just serve a few clients, that I'm able to do it during the cracks of my day. And the thread kind of grew, and a lot of people were interested, but it kind of got too much. And someone suggested, hey, why don't we just make a small Facebook group, and you can answer all of our questions at once and kind of be done with it, instead of me just kind of being pulled all over. And I was feeling generous and wanting to answer people's questions, but it was going to make it more efficient to do that. So I thought, I didn't know about creating my own group. I had no idea what to do, but I figured it out.
And you stood out in the thread because you weren't pitching a network marketing scheme.
No. Oh gosh, no. I was just saying, oh yeah, like, here's the QuickBooks Pro Advisor site where you can get your certification, or, you know, whatever. I don't know what I said, but we moved, I'm guessing it was probably 10 or 15 people to this private little Facebook group, answered some questions, and I wish I knew exactly how it happened, but now there's 7,000 people in it. And
by accident.
Yeah, well, so all I would do is every once in a while, I would say, a lot of my military spouse groups too, I would like ask career question. I say, well, I'm a virtual bookkeeper, and if you want to learn more, I have a Facebook group where we talk about it. And then I finally like actually gave the group a proper name. I probably didn't do that for like 6 months or something, so people could actually find me. You can like change the name of the group. And then, I don't know, people were really taking my advice and kind of running with it, and people were having success. So yeah, then I started a blog, because the only reason I started the blog was because I was answering the same question over and over, because this isn't rocket science. It's like, learn accounting, learn a bookkeeping software, figure out how to set up a business, and then go get a client. But everyone has those same questions, and I kind of got tired of answering, how do you become a QuickBooks Pro Advisor? So I just made a YouTube video about screencasting me like pretending to sign up for a QuickBooks account. So then I could answer those questions over and over. And I enjoy it. I like it. I like seeing people succeed. Yeah, I even tried to write a book this year. I did write a book in January, just called The Bookkeeping Side Hustle Guidebook.
Yeah, I just knocked it out in January. No big deal.
Yeah. Well, I know how to tell people how to do it. So I wrote it down and I have that, and it's all about actually taking action. And
is the book on Amazon or is it through bookkeepingsidehustle.com?
Yeah. So bookkeepingsidehustle.com, I think it's /bookkeeping-guidebook, but I have a link on the main homepage. I just sell it on my Shopify store and it's just an ebook download, because the important part of the book is it's very actionable. So when it talks about getting your QuickBooks Pro Advisor certification or your Xero certification, I have a link like in the ebook. So as you're reading the content, you'll be able to jump to like the next thing you need to watch. Or if you want to watch a lot, I have a lot of YouTube videos I recommend people listen to, by a lot of like really, really expert people. And so the link's right there. So I don't know that I'll ever make it a hard copy, because the linking functionality is so important, because there's a whole lot of people who know a whole lot more than I do about how to do this. I would consider myself probably the best expert at being like the hub of it all. So that's my role in it. And I can point you to the true accounting experts or software experts.
I think it's awesome. I think it's really cool what you built. And then by spreading the word, you've opened up another income stream, which can be even more time leveraged. Really, really inspiring stuff, Kate.
Thank you.
All right. So bookkeepingsidehustle.com is where you can find Kate's home base. Be sure to jump in the Bookkeeping Side Hustle group on Facebook if this is a side hustle that interests you specifically. But again, think of the broader parallels for any type of home-based service type of business, where you can find clients, how you can gain the skills and expertise you need to get started, and really go from there. So again, Kate, thank you for joining me. And let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
So I thought about this. I want to say with this particular side hustle, we really need to have the long view in mind. So if you need $1,000 next week, don't do this. If you would like to have $1,000 a month in a year, or, you know, in retirement as you're traveling in your RV, this could really be the perfect side hustle. So think about learning a new skill. Think about taking the time, you know, that it takes. Maybe actually take a couple of junior college accounting classes. Do what it takes, but knowing that you can kind of craft this life that you want, and you could grow it as big or as small, scale it as quickly or as not quickly, you know, once you have the foundation, as much as you want. So that's my number one tip, that this is a really great side hustle with the long view in mind.
I like it. Thanks for sharing that.
Nick, can I ask one more thing? I did want to say I did create a discount code for the book. So SNH 30 off. That would be my number two tip. If you get this little ebook, it costs hardly anything at all. You'll spend an hour reading it and you'll know quickly whether this is for you or not.
All right, very good. We will link that up in the show notes for this episode. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right, once again, this is Kate Johnson from bookkeepingsidehustle.com. Thank you so much for joining me, and we'll catch up with you soon. All right, here's hoping you drew some inspiration from Kate's story in this episode. I loved her attitude about being a good steward of her time, and how even just a few hours a week combined with intentional action can build a meaningful extra income stream. She essentially followed the framework of learn, connect, and earn. And there's no reason that you can't do the same in any skill under the sun. And by being excited about her side hustle and spreading the word, like telling people what she does, that led to this whole bookkeepingsidehustle.com project and the Facebook group. Lots of good stuff in this one. Be sure to hit up sidehustlenation.com/bookkeeping for links to all the resources mentioned and the full text summary of our conversation. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show, where you'll meet a friend of mine who retired at 37 and hear how you can follow the same systematic approach. I'll see you then. Hustle on.